Today I'd like to read initially just one verse, but we're going to look at it in the context as we work our way through the message of the morning. Isaiah chapter 9 and beginning, and we're going to read verse 6. And I'd like for us to read it together. If you have an ESV Bible, read along with me. If you have a different version, you can stumble along with us as well, but it may be a little awkward. But let's read this verse together, okay? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this portion of Scripture, tucked away in the Old Testament, but not an obscure passage, one that is very meaningful for us today. And I pray that, God, that you would work in our hearts this morning through this passage and through this verse in particular, and through the name for Jesus Christ, Wonderful Counselor. May you encourage our hearts through this name for Jesus. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't have an outline for you today, so you may have to just grab a spare piece of paper, but I do have something to tell you about. And that is our Wonderful Counselor. We're not going to consider all four names today. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We may hit on some of those in weeks to come. But today I do want to zero in on this particular name for Jesus Christ. Names are important in the Word of God, and names are important for us as well. Names are important because you're going to be stuck with that name pretty much all your life, unless you go through the hassle of changing that name. And so really, it's an important decision for our new parents, as we've had lately, as they come up with a name for their child. When our third child was on the way, we needed to come up with a name for both, in case it was a boy, he was a boy, or in case she was a girl. And so we had a lot of suggestions. With a name like Wood, you have a lot of things to play around with. And so if it was going to be a girl, people encouraged us to say, well, how about Holly? So Hollywood. And there were other names for girls, but we had more boys' names like Pinewood, Chipwood, which I do have a cousin, Chip, and by the way, he has a brother whose name is Dale. And that's no lie. Chip and Dale Wood, all right? And then there were other suggestions like Dogwood, Hollow Corewood, Ringwood, and a bunch of other names that we decided not to go with. We ended up with Michael. And so, Michael, don't feel too bad. We avoided those other ones. It could have been worse. Okay. When we lived in Hong Kong, the Chinese pastors felt it was important for us to come up with a name or to have a name. And so they molded over and gave names to Judy and I so that as we told our names to the Chinese people, there would be meaning and significance as we shared our names. So my name was Wu Ming Duck. Now, in English, it may sound a little funny, but Wu Ming Duck, it doesn't mean big duck, okay? It means to make clear virtue. And then my wife's name she was given this name, Wu Sum Yi. Wu Sum Yi, which means peaceful heart. And it's interesting, as we gave our Chinese names, as we told individuals what our Chinese name was, they would often say, oh, that has a nice ring to it. And we like the meaning of that name. And so I'm thankful that they gave us good names. Now again, it could all be just a lie and we could be just saying we're a bunch of fools. I don't know we do know that the names were very important to the people there. When my sister named her son Ethan Neil Carl, basically the name means strong, strong Carl. And the middle name was named after my dad. And so we would joke with my sister that she's going to have a son that's going to be a ballerina. You know, strong, strong Carl will end up being a ballerina someday. So we've joked around about that. But you know what? Throughout Scripture, we find that names were very important. Names were very significant. It told something about the person's life in some cases, or about their character, or about their looks. I mean, think with me for just a moment. David was named Beloved. Abraham was called the father of multitudes. Jacob was called trickster or deceiver, and he lived up to his name. Goliath, his name meant splendor, a huge man who fought against David. We know the story from the Old Testament. Isaac meant laughter, probably because his mother laughed initially in disbelief when she heard at her age she was going to have a child. But later on, laughter of joy as the birth of the child came. Esau's name meant hairy one, because his body was so hairy it was like he was wearing a hairy coat. Moses, his name meant drawn out, because he was pulled out of the water by Pharaoh's daughter. So some of these names really told a story about the individual, or they brought out the character of the person. Isaiah himself, his name meant the salvation of the Lord, or the Lord is salvation. So even as he told people his name, as he prophesied before the nation of Judah, his name reminded them that there was going to be a Messiah that would come to be a deliverer for his people. Well, I think it's important that we understand Wonderful Counselor in its context. And so the first thing I'd like to bring out for you is the time that Isaiah prophesied this wonderful name, the Wonderful Counselor. It was a time of darkness and despair. It was not a good time to live. It was a time of discouragement. And really, most of the discouragement and darkness was because the people had left God out of their lives. The nation of Israel, the nation of Judah, they had disobeyed God. They had forgotten God. They had left God out of their plans, out of their discussions, and out of their trust. And so these words that Isaiah gives here in the midst of this time was really at a time of darkness. In fact, if you look, if you still have your Bible opened at Isaiah 9, you see in chapter 8, verse 22, that it's a time of darkness and despair. Notice what it says, "And they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness." Chapter 9, verse 1, "And there will be no gloom for them who were in anguish." And so really it was a time of darkness and gloom and despair. Why? Why was it a time of darkness? Because the Assyrians, a fierce nation nearby, would come down and crush the nation of Israel. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali, it was really God's judgment upon a nation that had chosen to turn their back on God. And Isaiah, as a prophet, stood up and said, yes, you are in the midst of darkness and despair, but he later on gives them hope. But he reminds them that it is there really because of their unfaithfulness that they are in this darkness. The Assyrians were threatening from the north. The leaders of Judah were prone to look to other nations like the Egyptians for assistance, for help. And so Isaiah prophesied and said, you need to put your trust in God. Don't ignore him any longer. Don't make wrong choices. Don't seek after foreign alliances. Don't go it on your own. Don't trust in your own weapons or man-made defenses. In your darkness and in your despair, you need to look to God. As we speak about this matter of names, it's interesting that Isaiah had a son whose name was Maher Shel El Hashbaz. Now look back at chapter 8 and beginning in verses 1 through 4. As this prophesying of the nation of, or as the Assyrians were to come in and destroy the northern kingdom of Israel, the Lord told Isaiah to write this name, verse 2, on a banner, on a tablet, Maher Shel El Hashbaz. And it basically means quick to plunder, swift to the spoil. It basically means disaster is coming. How would you like to name your child Disaster? Or swift to the plunder, swift to the spoil. I mean, can you imagine calling in Maher Shel El Hashbaz to breakfast? I mean, that's a mouthful, all right? But as this child would run around, his name, the meaning disaster is coming and they're going to plunder you, they're going to take your things as spoils to take back to their land. That's a vivid picture of the despair and the darkness of the time. I mean, that's not nice things for Isaiah to be telling to the king. In fact, he actually pulled Ahaz aside and said, before my child, Maher Shalal-Hashbaz, can say mommy or daddy, disaster is going to come from the north and over this land of Israel. You know, I would think, I wouldn't want to mess with that kid. I wouldn't want disaster to come. Can you imagine that? You know, you just talk about your, I would wonder if that child would have a little bit of a complex as he's coming, running around the corner. Here comes disaster. I mean, you know, just it, by the meaning of his name, the poor child. But it was a reminder that this was a time of judgment that was coming upon the people of God because they had left him out of their plans. So it was a time of gloom, a time of darkness and despair that characterized the people and the world of that day. I can't help but think that the way things are going in our nation, sometimes we may feel a little bit like that as well. That we are in a land of darkness because we are leaving God out of our plans, out of our laws, out of our personal lives, and we are doing our own thing. And we wonder why disaster is coming in our own personal lives. But I'm so glad that in this passage before us in Isaiah chapter 9, that we are not left in despair and darkness and gloom. In fact, in the midst of this anticipation of disaster from the north, in the midst of this taking off their goods to another land, being run over by another nation, Isaiah has some words of hope for this nation. And he gives it in chapter 9. And let's look with me for a moment at 9 and verse 1. But there will be no gloom for her who is in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. That's basically the northern kingdom that the Assyrians were going to run over, the area of Galilee. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has a light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. He's giving them hope in the midst of this that there will be a time when someone will come, the Messiah will come and bring light and bring joy, like joy at harvest time, like a rejoicing in the dividing of the spoil. Verse 4, for the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. He said there will be a day when the yoke of these other nations will be broken and they will be set free, just like back in the day of Midian. And by the way, that was a reference to back at the time of Gideon, when the nation of Midian came and was like the sea, the sand on the seashore, the number of enemies that were there encamped, ready to defeat them. And Gideon says, our army is too big, 32,000 men. We need to whittle it down here. And so they ended up whittling their army down to 300 people through various means. And you have to read the account in Judges. And now he says, we're not going to trust in our armies. We're not going to trust in our armament. We're going to trust in our great God and how they defeated the enemies that were so much greater than they through the trusting their God. Verse 5, and every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. The idea that war will be done, the war will be over, no more enemies coming in and taking over. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And he goes on in the midst of their despair and darkness and say, one day there will be a Messiah, a deliverer that will come, and he will change everything. And basically, he is referring to different comings of the Lord. He's referring to his initial coming as a child being born in a manger, but he's also referring to the time yet future from today of the millennial kingdom when all things will be perfectly restored and when he will be in charge. And so we find that there's even a double reference here to what he's referring to here. But the message of hope is clear. And then he gives this name, Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. Now, lest you think that this is a name that he was to carry around with him and all of his friends and buddies and even the parents were to say, hey, Wonderful Counselor, come for breakfast. That's not what it was meant for. It was basically to tell something about his character. It was not the way they were to call him to do the dishes or to go to bed at night like Mighty God or just like Emmanuel. They didn't say, okay, Emmanuel, go to bed now. No, it was Jesus was his name that he was referred to and called. But these other names that were given to him were names that characterized who he was, the type of person he was, that he was more than just an ordinary man. He was Emmanuel, God with us. He was Wonderful Counselor. I believe those two terms are together. The names, it's not wonderful as one name and counselor another name. It was Wonderful Counselor. The term wonderful that is used here in the text is a Hebrew word that is used exclusively of God and His works. It's only used of His wonders, of His astonishing works, of His extraordinary dealings with man. This was no ordinary child that was to be born. This was an extraordinary, exceptional, wonderful child, divine and human together, the God-man. This was a special child. And notice, a wonderful counselor. A wonderful counselor. Not like Dear Abby, not like Ann Landers or Dr. Laura or any other person that is called up or on a hotline. This is a wonderful counselor who knows the right advice, who knows the right diagnosis for every situation you may run into. Spurgeon said, Christ is the counselor whom I desire to consult every hour. And I would that I would sit in his secret chamber all day and all night long, because to counsel with him is to have sweet counsel, hearty counsel, and wise counsel all the same time. Think about it. Wonderful counselor. Are you looking for someone to clear up the confusion that you have today? Run to Jesus Christ. He is the wonderful counselor. The problem is that many times today we have people that are listening to the wrong voices. They're running everywhere but to Jesus to answer their conflicts and situations and worries. There are other people that don't want any counsel at all. But we have one who is a wonderful counselor. He is the one who is all wise. He is always available, and he will listen to you. He welcomes you to come to him. The wonderful counselor knows your need before you ask. The wonderful counselor knows, and he can help you. The wonderful counselor, he is someone you can talk to at any time. He can help you make up your decisions. A counselor is there to get you back on track. Jesus is our wonderful counselor, and he makes no mistakes. When you think about the way that he dealt with individuals during the time that he was on this earth, it tells us in Luke chapter 20, the Pharisees and the Sadducees tried to trick him with their loaded questions, but they ended up confounded with his wisdom. We find later on in Matthew 7, another occasion when Jesus was finished talking to the crowds, they were in amazement because he spoke with one who had authority. In Matthew 9:33, we read that the demons were driven out and the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, nothing like this has been seen in all of Israel. In Colossians chapter 2, we read, in Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus is thoroughly wise. There's nothing lacking in his counsel. Jesus never had to check out and say, what should I do in this situation? He never pulled in his 12 disciples and said, guys, what do you think? What should I do? Where should I go? What should I do next? He knew thoroughly his plan. He knew what he was going to do. He was the wonderful counselor. And whether he was dealing with the Jewish lawyer, the adulterous woman, or Nicodemus, the religious leader, he knew exactly what they needed and gave them exactly what was right. This morning, I can't help but think that all of us need a wonderful counselor. As a pastor, I do a lot of counseling, and it's the joy and privilege that I have of helping those, whether trying to make up a decision about a job that they might be considering, or whether it's helping in a marriage situation, or helping with a child who's going through difficulties. It's great to be able to be there and give counsel from God's Word and encourage people to run to the wonderful counselor. I must admit, there are some times when I sit in my office and as I listen to the complicated situations of some of our people's lives, if I really was honest at that moment, I would say, I have no clue how I can help you. I don't have the foggiest. But the reality is, I have one that I can run to. And sometimes I may need to pause and say, I don't know the answer now, but I'm going to run to the Lord and to the counselor and ask for his help. Or I encourage them to run to the counselor and say, we have one who knows the answers, knows the solutions right now for your needs. Run to him. And it's so great that we have the master counselor who can help with whatever you're going through. And so I can't help but think, at a time when the nation of Israel was in despair and gloom and hopelessness, Isaiah gave a prophecy and said, there is one who has all the answers. Turn to him. Trust in him. Don't trust in your armies. Don't trust in your own strength. Trust in him. And he pointed to a day when things would be set right. And I love it. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4 as we see the fulfillment, at least partially, of this promise, this prophecy. Matthew chapter 4. And here we find the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Matthew 4 and beginning with verse 12. And I find it interesting here as we find, you know, sometimes you'll say, how do you know you're talking about the Lord Jesus from Isaiah chapter 9? Well, here we find this fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ, beginning with verse 12. For when he heard that John had been arrested, this is referring to Jesus, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. Interesting, mentioned again, reference to the northern part of Israel. And now he's referring, and he went to this part, this particular part that had been under gloom and doom and disaster and was run over by the Assyrians. Where did the Lord Jesus begin his ministry? In that very place. In fulfillment, it says in verse 14, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. I loved the songs that were sung before the message today. It was referring over and over again to this message of light in the midst of darkness. And so Jesus came into this dark world, and he is the light of the world. And it talks about in John chapter 1 that he's the light and life of the world. How wonderful to know that Jesus is the great and wonderful counselor. I'm wondering this morning, do you have any helpless or hopeless situations that you've run into or are in the middle of? Are there some problems that you can't solve? You don't know where to turn, whether it's financially, physically, or whatever? I'm so glad that we have a wonderful counselor who has come to bring hope to us in the midst of our darkness. He always knows what's to be done. He knows your despair, and he wants to help. He is the one who understands when no one else does. He is the one who stands by us when everyone else runs away. He is the one who can really help to confront the past and begin again. And so I'd like to just call in conclusion that we all need to humble ourselves before Him. The wonderful counselor will not be much help to us unless we're willing to go and to seek His help. We need to run to Him this morning. And maybe for some of you, it's the need for salvation. I mean, remember Jesus, one of the other beautiful names of Jesus is that He's Savior. He came to save His people from their sins. That's the greatest need we have, not physical well-being, not financial solvency. We need a Savior. And some of you need to call on Him today to humble yourself and say, I need You. I need You to save me from my sins. That is the greatest need we have. But for the rest of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we need to run to Him with our problems, run to Him with our difficulties. I'm so glad that I can point people to that solution, the Lord Jesus Christ. So practically, what do we do? How do we seek His help? I believe, first of all, we need to pray. We need to run to Him in prayer, in Jesus' name. Run to God in Jesus' name. Jesus is on the right hand of the throne in heaven today, interceding on our behalf. And when Satan brings his accusations and those things against us, Jesus is right there. No, He belongs to me. I shed my blood for him, and he is my child. He is my son. I want you to help him. The Lord Jesus is interceding. We need to pray to him. Go with our concerns. Go with our needs. Second, we need to depend upon the Holy Spirit for help. I'm so thankful when the Lord went off to heaven, when He ascended, before He did, He gathered His disciples, actually even before His crucifixion. He said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send another comforter. I'm going to send another counselor to you. And that's the person of the Holy Spirit. So that when He went away, He sent His Holy Spirit, who now resides within followers of His, that He indwells us, that He teaches us, He guides us, He instructs us so that we are not left alone. So we need to depend upon the counselor that dwells within us. Third, we need to read His Word. Run to His Word for wisdom. If Jesus is the wonderful counselor, He has left us wonderful counsel in His Word. This is a book of life and wisdom and help, and it will transform your thinking. Fourth, seek the counsel of other Christians who can bring wisdom to bear in various situations. I'm so thankful that I have others in the body of Christ, others in this local church, who when I don't know what to do, when I don't know where to turn with some of the problems or difficulties that come my way, that I can call upon you because you've been looking to God's Word as well. You have the Holy Spirit living within you. You can pray as well, and we can work together to bring counsel to those who need it. Thank God for our wonderful counselor. We're not left to doom and gloom. We have one who is light and life, who brings hope in the middle of our despair. So Christians, don't despair today. Take hope in our Savior. Those of you that don't know Christ, take hope in our wonderful counselor. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the light and life that we have in Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus has said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You've also come that we might have eternal life, and it's all found in you. Thank you for the glorious good news that one was born, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Deliverer, God with us, Emmanuel, who came and is our wonderful Counselor. May we take hope and joy in that great message. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.